Continuing our series, God's Vision for Your Life. How many know God's got a vision for your life? God has a vision for your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got a vision for your life. Tell them, say, God's vision. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, God's vision for your life is bigger than your vision for your life. We believe that God's got a vision for our life, that He has a pattern that we see in Scripture that He has established for every one of us. What is God's vision for our life? We believe God's vision, according to Scripture, is that what God's vision for my life is this: to see you saved, healed, set free, discipled, equipped, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and serving. We know today that God has a pattern in Scripture, and oftentimes we get saved, but then we jump right to serving, and we just kind of just realize we're just kind of existing. And so many of us live short of what God has for our life, that He has so much more for us. There's so much more that God has planned for your life. There's so much more that God has established that He wants to see take place in your life. And so what we don't realize is in between is so important, that He wants us not only to see us saved, but He wants to see us healed. As we talked about last week, that Jesus died on the cross, that we could be healed of a broken heart, both physically and spiritually. He's come to heal our bodies. Today we're going to talk about set free. Are you set free? How many know that Jesus Christ died on the cross so you and I could be set free? Very true. That He died on the cross so that you and I can be set free. Let's look at our text in John chapter 8. We'll pick it up in verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Shall make you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Then Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in a house forever, but a son." Let me just think about this. A son and a daughter. A son, what? Abides forever. Therefore, a son makes you free. You shall be free indeed. As we talk about this question, are you free indeed? First of all, we got to answer some things and make some statements. First of all, number one, it's possible for believers to be in bondage. It is possible for believers to be in bondage. Some of you may think, "I don't believe this, Pastor. I don't believe that a Christian can be in bondage." Well, I disagree with you, and we'll see in Scripture here to prove this point in just a second. We see what we just read this in verse 31. Who is He talking to? Let's go back to that verse again one more time, Tracy. In verse 31, He says, "To all Jews," and to who else? He said to them, then Jesus said to Jews who what? Believed in Him. Who were they? That's Christians. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." So who's He talking to here? He's preaching and teaching to the Christians that are there, and He's also teaching to His disciples. And so when Jesus was addressing this, He wasn't addressing those who wasn't there. He was addressing those who were there. He was addressing His disciples. He was addressing the Christians. And He was saying this, that it is impossible, it is possible for you to be a slave to sin. And He talks about the word commits. Commit, those who commit sin are what? They are a slave to bondage, to sin. The word commits, as we study it out, as the way it was used in this particular text, it talks about the word prolong. It's what it basically means. It means a prolonged time. So what He's talking about here, He's saying this. If you commit a sin, He's not talking about the person who just messes up one time, that you're in bondage to sin. But He's talking to the person who commits the same sin over and over and over again for a prolonged time, that you are becoming a slave to that particular sin, to that addiction, to that habit. This is what He's talking about. He's not talking about the one person who messes up and says, "Oh, I should have done that, God forgive me." But He's talking about those who are prolonged habits of sin in their life. He used the word prolong and commitment. See, bondage, let me give you my definition. Bondage is a compulsive or impulsive behavior that restricts you from living and enjoying freedom that Christ has for you. Let me say again. I believe that bondage is a compulsive or impulsive behavior that restricts you from the living and enjoying the life of freedom that Christ has for you. You say, Pastor, why do you say compulsive and impulsive? Well, compulsive means, obviously, that you can intentionally continue to do the same thing. But I believe impulsive because some of us here, we're living in denial. Right? We live in denial. Well, I didn't mean to do it. But yet, how many times do we not mean to do it? We can say it's an accident, but when it happens every day, we got a problem. We can say it's impulsive, but when it continues to happen in our life over and over again, we got some problems that we, as Christians, we need to address and realize what is holding me a slave. What is holding me bondage? Look what Jeremiah says here in chapter 7. Verse 9 through 11 says, do you really think you can steal, murder, commit adultery, lie, burn incense to Baal, and all those other new gods of yours, and then come here, talking about the church, and stand before me in my temple and chant, we are safe, only to go right back and do the same evils again? Don't you yourselves admit that this temple, which bears my name, has become a den of thieves? Surely I see all the evil going on there. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now we see it is possible. And he's saying to this that Jesus, listen, Jesus did not die on the cross for us to be controlled by our sin. He came not only to forgive us of our sins, but he died on the cross not only to forgive us, but he died on the cross to set us free from the power of sin in our life. Let me say it again. He didn't only die on the cross to forgive us of our sins, but he died on the cross to set us free from the power of sin in our life. And he has never established or wanted you and I to be held bondage to our sin. Well, Pastor, I'm forgiven. And only if I'm forgiven, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's no way that I could be in bondage. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me say this to you then. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then why are you continuing to be a slave to something else? You see, actually what we're filled with is what we follow. That's good. I'll say it again. What we're filled with is what we follow. And if I'm following my flesh all the time, what am I following? If I'm following lust, I'm filled with lust. If I'm following greed, I'm filled with greed. If I'm following hate, I'm filled with hate. If I'm following unforgiveness and bitterness in my life, this is what I'm feeling my life. These are the things that are leading me. So to say I am spirit-filled means that I am following the Spirit. But you don't know. I'm just saying, if you're filled with the Spirit, spirit-filled, then you'll follow after the Spirit. But when you continue to follow the same thing day after day, the same bad habits, the same sin in your life, continually is coming, you are in bondage. And you need to be set free from the bondage. Well, Pastor, I've just been living with it long enough, and man, I just think, you know, God's forgiven me, and it's okay. Listen, he didn't come so that you and I could just settle. He didn't die on the cross so that you and I could just settle to live our life in bondage. Romans chapter 6, look what it says in verse 15 and 16. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, that you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. That's what he's saying. He's saying, we don't just come in and say, well, I'm under grace so I can live how I want to. I'm under grace so I can go out here and sin how I want to. No, he's saying just the opposite. If you say I'm under grace and want to go out here and sin, then you're a slave to sin. Don't say you're a slave to grace and want to go out there and sin all the time. We're a slave to what we follow. We're a slave to the things that are filling our life. And he has so much more for us. So the second step we got to realize is this. Number two, it's difficult to admit that you're in bondage. It really is. It's difficult to admit you're in bondage. Let's go back to our text in verse 33 of John chapter 8. We read it a while ago. After he said that you guys are slaves and in bondage, look what their response was. And this is a response to Jesus. They answered him. And I believe this is one of the most humorous verses we'll find in Scripture. When you read it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Let's read it again. Think about it. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? Now, let's think about that statement for a minute. The children of Israel are telling Jesus, hey, we never been in bondage to anyone. Hello. Have you read the Scriptures? Anyone ever seen the Ten Commandments? You've seen the movie. You heard the stories. Let's just make it clear. They were in bondage to everybody. I mean, if anybody was in bondage, they were in bondage. When they made this statement, they were in bondage to who? To the Romans. I mean, they were constantly in bondage. I mean, of the history of mankind, no one has been in more bondage than these people. But yet they have the audacity to tell Jesus, we've never been in bondage to no one. I mean, think about it. This is like the most thing. Have you ever heard of the Passover? That's what I'm thinking, you know. Jesus is like, have you heard of the Passover? You know, the feast that I commanded you to keep? The Passover is to celebrate you coming out of bondage. Bondage, not bondage. 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 It's difficult to admit you're in bondage. They were in bondage and they couldn't even admit it to Jesus. See, I can relate with this all the time. I deal with it all the time as a pastor. People say, I'm a Christian and I just can't be in bondage. And I begin to talk to them, but you're in bondage. I'm not in bondage. Hey, man, you got a problem with your anger. I don't have an anger problem. You got a problem with unforgiveness. I ain't forgiven nobody. I mean, automatically, we have a hard time admitting that we have bondage about anything. It's a hard thing to admit. I guess it's ingrained in our human nature that we don't want to admit that maybe we are weak or we don't want other people to see our weaknesses or failures. But yet we walk around and we're held to bondage so much in our life. And the hardest thing to do is just to admit. It's very hard to admit that, you know what, I've got some bondage in my life. I've got bondage that I need to be set free of in my life. I know people who say, you know what, I'm not in bondage, I just have a weakness. I'm not in bondage, I just have a small weakness in my life. Well, how long have you been having that weakness? Oh, 20 years? It's a bondage, okay? Is it in the temptation that you fell to once or twice? I mean, it's a pattern of your lifetime. You see, you continually to fall to the same thing, the same thing. It's a bondage thing in your life. We must address it if we want to go to the place that God has for us, if we want to be free people. We have a hard time admitting it, don't we? We feel like if we just can't admit it when it comes to bondage. The Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Bible says you will know what? The truth, and the truth will set you free. And you will know the what? And we will know the what? Come on, say it together. We will know the, and the truth will what? Set us free. This is where our freedom comes, right here. The freedom comes in the truth. The freedom comes in the truth. You want to be set free? Then you got to know the truth. You got to understand what the truth is. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You want to be set free from your bondage? Then you got to know the truth. You got to know Jesus. And this is the problem we have. If Justin comes to me and says, hey, Pastor Gene, do you know Ty from Extreme Home Makeovers? He's in town. I'm like, yeah, I know Ty. He's like, well, great, I'm glad he's in town. I want to meet him. Can you set up a meeting for me? Well, I don't know. Maybe I can. I don't think so. I can. Why not? Do you know what time he gets off work? I don't know what the hours is over there. I don't know if he's working day, night. I don't know what's going on. Well, do you know where his bus is at? I don't really know where he's staying. Which bus he's in? If he's in the hotel, I really don't know. Well, can you text him and ask him? I don't know his number. I thought you knew him, Pastor Gene. Well, I don't really know him. I met him one time for about 5 minutes while I was passing by cleaning up in a site out there. And he said, hi. I said, hey. And so, I don't really know him. But, you know, I know he is. You see, for many of us, that's our experience with Jesus. We meet Jesus at our salvation. We know that we need to repent and accept him as our Lord and Savior. And so we meet Jesus, but we really don't know him. We really haven't developed a personal relationship with him. Because the more you know who he is, the freer you'll become. Because those who know the truth is who? Jesus. So when I know the truth, when I know more of Jesus, the more freedom that comes to my life. So you find yourself in bondage, then you got to discover more who Jesus is in your life. You got to allow him to come and be relevant in your life. More than just a salvation, it's an everyday thing. So I want to be free, I've got to know the truth. and the truth is Jesus. I got to study about Jesus. I need to read about Jesus. I need to talk to Jesus. I need to open up my life to Jesus. I've got to realize that the more I know him, the freer I become in my life. This is it right here. This is 101, Christianity 101. That you're called to be free, and Jesus is called to bring you to freedom. But it only comes when we know who he is on a personal level. And our last point today is just simply number three. Really, it's easy to be set free from bondage. It really is. It's easy to be set free from bondage. It's easy because it doesn't depend upon me. It depends upon Jesus. And he's got this thing covered. Let me tell you something up front. Jesus is not intimidated by Satan, just in case you didn't know that. He is not intimidated one blink of an eye of Satan. He's like, I kicked him out once, I'll kick him out again, okay? Now, just the opposite, Satan trembles when he hears the voice of the Lord. Satan trembles at his name. Satan knows his destiny according to what Jesus did to him. So, Satan knows that he must give all authority to the power of Jesus' name. So, make no bones about it. Jesus is not, never has, will, never will be intimidated by Satan. He's got this thing. And we see in Scripture where this is happening time and time again. Look at 1 John. Chapter 3, verse 8. He who sins is of what? The devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God, what? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is his destiny, destroy the works of the devil. Look at some stories here. I love these stories in Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Then the crowd answered and said to him, Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, and they could not cast it out. Look what he answered. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed. This is the boy. The spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground, and he wallowed. The word wallow there translates to flop around. Okay, just in case you didn't know that. Let's make it clear. He's flopping around like a fish out of water. He's foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. Now, I love this story because here we see this spirit has possessed this man, this boy. What's happening? This boy is foaming at the mouth. He's gnashing his teeth. He's wallowing around on the ground. I think that, you know, this is pretty heavy stuff. Some of you walk in today in bondage, and I don't see you doing any of these things right here. So I don't see you as bad as this person right here. This person's pretty bad. I mean, he's got it bad. He's wallowing around, foaming at the mouth. And I love this because this is what's happening. Can you picture this what's happening? I mean, this boy falls on the ground, going crazy, foaming at the mouth, wallowing around. Everybody's like, taking the holy water, throwing it at them, and they can take the Bible, throw, get them away, Jesus, freaking out. And you know, this is the response of the people. This is a normal response. People don't understand. But I love Jesus' response. Look at Jesus' response. This is all happening in front of them, and Jesus is kind of, I can just kind of imagine Jesus standing like this, next to the Father. And he said, so, how long has this been happening? I mean, come on. This kid's falling around, flopping himself around him on the fire, foaming at the mouth, gnashing his teeth, going crazy. And Jesus says, so, how long has this been happening? I mean, this our God's cool, man. He's cool. He's calm and he's collected. Why? Because he's got this thing in the bag. He understands his authority. He has been given all authority. Let me say again, he has been given all authority over Satan. Satan does not intimidate him. Satan must obey him. This is why it's happening, because Satan's making one last attempt. You'll see this happening quite a bit. When Satan knows he's about to flee, he's going to make one last attempt to show out, okay? Distract, get himself away from what's about to happen to him. Look what it says here. It says, often he has thrown himself both in the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This is what the Father saying to Jesus. Jesus, if you can do anything. And I love Jesus' response because Jesus is like, me? Dude, I got this in the bag. Look what he says. Jesus said, if you can believe, don't say me. Dude, I've got this thing. This is my purpose. This is my destiny. I got it covered. He goes, but if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. He didn't say, let me look at it. I'll see what I can do. He's like, man, I got my part covered. You just believe, and I'll take care of this thing. See, Jesus has come to set us free. We see a similar story in Mark chapter 5. And when he had come, talking about Jesus, when he had come out of the boat, immediately after they met him out of the tombs, a man with the unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Some translations say that this man was naked, going crazy. That's what it says, basically. He's running around naked. They try to chain him up, he breaks the chains. They try to shackle him up, he breaks the shackles. He's running around the tombs, running around the graveyard, naked, with chains everywhere, because he can't keep him chained down. He's taking stones, cutting himself, and he's screaming out like a lunatic. I mean, you're talking about intimidated. People were like, stay away. He is crazy. This guy is intimidating. I mean, just think about it. If you walk out tomorrow to your job, and you see some guy coming running out there naked, screaming with chains hanging off of him, cutting himself with tombs and screaming like an idiot, you're going to be like, whoa, dude, man, you're going to be running. I am getting away from this. That's our human nature. But notice his response when he sees Jesus. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and what? Worshipped him. Look at the power that our Lord has over Satan. Satan showing off, doing all this other stuff. And what happens? This guy runs and falls and worships Jesus. Let me tell you this. Our God has got this in the bag. He's got this. He has got control. And so the more I yield my control to the Holy Spirit, the more I follow after the Holy Spirit, the more I know who Jesus is, the more I release his freedom in my life, the more I release myself of bondage in my life, the more I release myself from things that are trying to hold me. Come here, Justin. The problem is we have is this right here, is that many of us, this is where we walk around right here. We walk around bound up as Satan has come and he's told us lies in our life. Hurts have happened to us. We've made mistakes in our life, and we continue just to allow things to bind us up. And so we come to church, and we're bound up like this. And we leave church, and we're bound up like this. We go to work, and we're bound up like this. We go to school, and we're bound up like this. We try to parent, and we're bound up like this. We try to love somebody in our marriage, and we're bound up like this. We try to be a witness to somebody, but we're bound up ourselves. This is the way we live our life. I mean, is this normal? If he walked into Walmart today, they go shopping like this, we say, that guy's got a problem. He got a problem. But we don't have a problem with it coming to church this way. We don't have a problem walking our way spiritually in our life all the time like this. Because this is the way many of us look. We have sin in our life that has become a habit, and we wrote it off as an excuse. Well, I just am weak, and so I guess until I get to heaven, I'm just going to continue to have to deal with it. No. No. Jesus did not die on the cross that you and I could be have an addiction to sin the rest of our life. Doesn't mean we will never sin. No, we're all going to sin. We've all come short. And it's a process. Remember me telling you, it's a process. I'm in a process of my journey becoming the person that Christ has for me. But he has never, ever intended for me to be a slave to sin. He's never intended for me to continue to commit the same sin over and over and over in my life. He has come and died on the cross so that I could be set free. So that every time I get to know Jesus a little bit better, I'm finding out who he is. I'm getting closer to him. I'm seeing what his word says about me. I see what his word says about my family. I see what his word says about my finances. I see what his word says about my children. I see what his word says about my health. I see what his word says about forgiveness. I see what his word says about my addiction. And the more I get close to him, to Jesus, the more I'm free. Amen. Amen. He's come to set us free. I would tell you this, that in my life, there was a time in my life when I was frozen with guilt of sin in my life. I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I knew beyond a shadow of doubt that Jesus had forgiven every sin I'd ever done. But the problem I had was the guilt of the sin I committed after I was a Christian. Anyone can relate to this? I guess I'm the only one who has this problem, sinning after you're a Christian. Okay. So the problem I had was the sin I committed after I was a Christian. I felt so guilty. I should know better. I shouldn't do this. And I would come in and I would have a hard time worshiping God. We'd have a worship service like I had this morning, and I would sit there like this, you know. Oh, I wish I could lift my hands, but I'm just so unworthy. God, I've such a failure in my life, and oh, I knew better, and I committed that sin anyway, and I would be so ate up with guilt in my life. It was stopping me from coming. Oh, they want me to teach a class, or they want me to help in the ministry. I'm like, I can't do that. Oh, you know what? If they only knew what I did 2 weeks ago, oh, they would never want me to be anything. They would never want me to do anything. They wouldn't want me to teach anybody. I mean, I was so frozen. I was so paralyzed, so caught up in the guilt. But you know what? The more I begin to study, the more I begin to draw close to Jesus, the more I realize, you know what? He didn't just forgive my sins before I was a Christian. He forgave my sins after I was a Christian. And the forgiveness is not just before salvation. It's before after salvation as well. And I'm walking under just as much grace now as I did when I first accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And it began to set me free because I was understanding who God was. I was having a better understanding of his grace and mercy in my life. It only happened when I drawed near to him. It only happened when the closer I got to Jesus, the more I seen his grace in my life. The closer I got to him and knew the truth, it began to set me free. And I could come in boldly and say, God, I love you. Lord, I worship you, God. I'll give you my life, God. I'll do whatever you want in my life. You have set me free, God. You have forgiven me, and it set me free. But I was a bondage to that. So we got so many people. Our musicians are coming this morning. We got so many people today that are walking around, and you're settling for bondage in your life. You're settling for bondage in your life. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you're some person who's going to hell tomorrow. But what we're talking about is simply, as a Christian, that we're not called to walk around in bondage. That the Son has not only come to forgive us of our sins, but he has come to what? Set us free. We got to realize, he has come to set me free of guilt. Set me free from addiction. Set me free from habits I shouldn't be doing. To set me free from things that I've been following after in my life. And the closer I get to him, the more I know the truth. Isn't that an awesome thing? The closer I get to the truth, because he says I am the truth, the more freedom that comes to my life. That's why I remember when I first got that revelation in my life, I couldn't stop. I had to eat. I had to breathe it, man. If I was in the car, I had worship music going on. If I was home, no one was around, I was reading God's word. I was studying. I had to find out who he was more in my life. I had to be there. Because I was experiencing new levels of freedom in my life I'd never experienced in my life before. Because I was understanding who he was in my life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I'm going to ask this question to you. Say, Pastor, I'm here this morning. As you're talking this morning, I realize that I have some bondages in my life. I have some things that I've just been settling with, some things that I realize that as you're speaking today that God wants to set me free from. There's some bondages in my life that I've allowed to rule. I've gotten too comfortable with it. I've gotten too complacent with just saying it's just there, and I've got to learn to deal with it. Today I realize that Jesus is wanting to set me free from my bondage in my life. If that's you today, can you just raise your hand where you're at? Say, Pastor, it's me. I'm ready to be set free from the bondage of my life. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Yeah. Hands going up. Yeah, we deal with this. This is the truth. This doesn't mean something's wrong. This means something's right. When we respond to what the Holy Spirit's saying, that means we're making right decisions, guys, mature decisions. This isn't a admission of failure. It's an admission that, you know what, I want to know Jesus more, and I want to grow. I want to be set free from the person he's called me to be.
Anybody else? You haven't raised your hands. I'm going to give you one more chance. If you raise your hand right now, if you haven't raised it, yes, that's me, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to invite our prayer partners. They're going to join me at the front this morning. Our prayer partners are going to be standing along the front of the stage here this morning. We're going to sing a song. I want you to stand with me this morning. We're going to sing this song today. And if you're here today in your life and you raised your hand and said, you know what, I want God to set me free. I'm tired of being in bondage to guilt or to a habit in my life, whatever it is today. Remember, I said the hardest thing to do is what? Is to admit it. So you simply getting out of your seat and walking down here this morning, it's the first act saying, God, I'm going to admit that I've got some things in my life that I need to take care of, some things I want to give to you. We're going to sing the song through. As we do, I'm going to invite those who raise your hands to say, you know what, I want to be free to come down. Allow one of our prayer partners to pray with you this morning. They're going to pray with you. We're going to be here to pray with you and see that God's going to break the chains in your life, that God's going to break and give you a new freedom in your life. Come on, let's sing it. Come this morning.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. And help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want.
Once you get to a certain place of tasting who Jesus is, once you get to a certain place of knowing the freedom comes when you draw close to Jesus, you can't help but want to be more with Him. You can't help but want to spend more time in His presence. You can't help but want to talk to Him and communicate with Him and pray to Him, hear His voice, study who He is. There's something that happens when you begin to fall in love with Jesus and begin to pursue after Him. Father, right now, I pray, Lord, throughout this auditorium, Lord, that God, You have set us free. Your word says, who the Son has set free is free indeed. That God, You have given us power over sin in our life. That God, we're not to be held bondage to anything in our life. But God, may we be a slave to righteousness. May we be a slave to Your presence. May we be a slave to Your Son, Jesus. Lord, may we be people who pursue after You. And God, as we pursue after You, guilt begins to fall, Lord. Chains begin to fall, Lord. The sin, addiction begins to fall. Father, right now, I pray that freedom be released in this building in the name of Jesus. Lord, I drive out any spirit, Lord, that would try to bring addiction behavior in our life. And God, I speak freedom in the name of Jesus, Lord. I speak freedom, Lord, from past mistakes. I speak freedom from guilt. I speak freedom, Father, in Jesus' name. That God, Your Spirit is bringing freedom to our lives. Your Spirit is bringing freedom to our hearts today. And God, we yield to that today, God. Thank You to God that You have set us free. If you believe that now, we're going to clap our hands. Come on, submit it. Closes out the word of prayer. Amen. How many are ready to walk out in freedom today? You ready to walk out in freedom? Amen. Believe that.
God, we want to thank You, God, that where Your Spirit is, there is liberty, God, and there is freedom, God. And Lord, let us walk in that spirit, God, of freedom, God. Lord, as the chains, those shackles and the bondages fall off, God, Lord, I pray, God, that we would see You when we look in the mirror, God. Lord, covering us with Your Spirit, God. Lord, covering us in Your anointing, God, that breaks every yoke, God. And Lord, we pray that we would walk in Your freedom, God, Lord, from now, God, to eternity, Lord Jesus. And God, that You would use free people, God, Lord, to free people. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're doing in our hearts, God, and in this church, God. Lord, in our city, God, and in this world, God. Lord, let us go forth, God, in the freedom that we know, God, representing the God that we love. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.